But before we get to normal stuff, one more extreme, okay? We've done some of the more extremes. So one more, okay? This is a shear, is a newish shear for me, meaning I haven't given it in the past. I gave it only the last 2 weeks as a dry run, as, you know, amongst some friends in Efrat. I called it, I'm mutar l'fsok shalokadin, right? Can you paskin against the halacha? Now, this is not halacha v'en morin kein. Halacha v'en morin kein, we've talked about a little bit, right? Cases where the halacha is mutter, and the Gemara says, but despite that, we try not to publicize that, for whatever reason. Okay, that...
Not a big deal.
Peanut butter and rice?
Not a big
deal. Okay. That's the least of the worst thing we've seen.
Yeah, honestly.
Is it?
Yeah. What have you seen? You can eat peanut butter with everything.
Yeah.
And you can eat peanut butter with anything.
For that.
With what?
Oh, yeah.
You can eat peanut butter with anything, really. Okay.
That's better.
I'm fine. So look, what we've talked about a lot with Psikat al Chavashat Chak and Akira Sarvamat Torah is the way in which external factors push halacha in certain directions, right? Or push us to want to paskin a certain way. Whether or not we can, right, is a different story, but the way in which that works and when it's legitimate. There is one more major case, and that's these very strange sugya in Sukkah, that seems to really push the bounds of what is legitimate to do in favor of external factors in psak. Okay? This is a bit disturbing. And you gotta figure out, the Rishonim were disturbed by it too, and trying to figure out what to do with it is quite difficult. So here's what we're gonna do. It's basically two Gemara, both about Shmuel. Hey, Shmuel. We like Shmuel. Shmuel's great. Okay, fine. So the first Gemara is a discussion about Lulav and Esrog, or the Arba Minim, more specifically. Okay? How many of each min do you need? So the Mishnah outlines three positions. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shlosha Adasim, Shtei Aravos, Lulav Echad, Vesrog Echad. 3, 2, 1, and 1, which should sound familiar to you. Okay, good? And then he says, Afilu Shnayim Ktumim Vechad Eino Katum. He says, Me'ikr Hadin, of the Hadasim, only one has to be perfect, two can be imperfect. Right, that's Rabbi Shmuel's position. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Afilu Shloshtan Ktumim. Right, Rabbi Tarfon says, even three of them can be imperfect. Right, I mean, he agrees 3, 2, 1, and 1,
right?
But three imperfect, right? There's only about hadasim, okay? Rabbi Kiva Omer Kishem Shulav Echad Vesrog Echad Kach Hadasach Echad VaRava Achas. Rabbi Kiva says 1, 1, 1, and 1, okay? But the assumption, as we'll see in the Gemara, is 1, 1, and 1, and 1, but perfect, a perfect hadas. Okay. Right, the only thing we're worried about here is hadas. Right, that's the only thing Gemara is worried about here is the hadasim. Okay. So the sheet that you have are three. One perfect, two imperfect, three imperfect, or one perfect. Those are the three positions we have. Okay?
Sounds good.
Good? Yeah. So the Gemara says, okay, how do you get to this? So first the Gemara just said, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Pri Eitz Hadar, Echad, Kapot Marim, Echad, Anav Eitz Avot, Shlosha, three words, Arvei Nachal Shtayim. Okay, that's what we get, 3, 2, 1, 1. Fine. Ba'afilu Shnayim Ketumim, Ve'echad Sheinu Katum.
Two words in there.
What?
I guess it's not important.
It's Pri, Kapot, right? I don't know. Whatever. No, sorry. It's kapot because it's written chaser, right? So it's kapat marim, right? Or whatever. Anaf eats avot, I guess three words or something. Whatever, exactly how you get this. That's really not the point. If we were doing sukkah, that would be our point. But it's not. So let's... The Gemara then gets into discussion. How do you get to this notion of three? A perfect, imperfect, tama, not tama. Fine. Skip down to three lines from the bottom, okay? After the whole discussion, it says, Amar Yudim or Shmuel, Halacha, Kirby Tarfon. Shmuel Paskins like Rabbi Tarfon, which means?
Three imperfect.
The Azda Shmuel et Taimei. And Shmuel is going according to his reason. Because what happened? The Amar Lehu.
The
keys
to the breakers?
What?
To the
what?
The keys for the breakers. The breakers. There's like a fuse blew in the kitchen again.
Oh, there's it's in the drawer in the kitchen?
Yeah, you know the water thing is? The
drawer
right under it. The keys are in there.
Okay.
Put it back when you're done.
Okay. So he says, "Da'amar lu Shmuel lahana demezavne asa," because Shmuel once said to the people who sold hadasim, "Ashvu uzvinu, guys, lower your price and sell." You guys are charging way too much for your Mahadran min Mahadran Hadassim. $100 for Hadassim is grotesque, right? Lower the price. V'ilo, and if you don't, Darshina luchu kari tarfon. I will paskin like Rabbi Tarfon. So now, so far in the Gemara,
sounds
right?
Strange.
It sounds very strange, but wait a second. Wait, let's just be careful. What is strange so far? Please tell me what's strange.
Reason he's the
what?
First thing. Sounds like he's not going to corn juice. Reason he's the first thing.
Right, so first thing is that stage in the Gemara, it sounds like it's a threat that he's going to lie. But the Gemara is saying, Azdel Shmuel Tameh, which means he's threatening him to tell the truth. So what's weird so far? First of all, why is he threatening him to tell the truth? Second of all, what's the problem?
Why do you need to threaten them?
Just tell them. That's the halacha. What do you want from my life? Right? Like, that's actually, if you actually hold that the halacha, so say it.
Wait, they were selling it and he went up to him and threatened.
Listen, you guys are selling perfect hadasim for $100. The Mahadran Menahadran Aleph Aleph Aleph. Right? If you guys don't lower the price on your Aleph 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 Hadassim, I'm going to tell everyone they don't need Aleph Aleph Aleph. They can use gimels. Right? They can use these terrible ones like Retarphone. So, first of all, it sounds like he doesn't really hold that way because it's a threat. But the Gemara assumes he does hold that way. So just say it. Right? What are you making people spend $100 on Hadassim?
Right?
So he says, my taima. So then the Gemara says something which is astonishing. My taima, what? Why would he say this to them? Elema mishum demekel. If it's because Rabbi Tarfon is lenient, and what's the implication? And he's just threatening them to lie. Religious look Rabbi Kiva demekel tvei. So go the whole way. What are you lying? If you're lying, do it well. Right? Do it well.
I don't understand that question.
Right? So the Gemara, right? Here's the problem.
Actually,
right?
I understand that question. Shouldn't that not work? Because even according to Rabbi Kiva, you need one perfect one.
That's what the Gemara's answer. That's the Gemara's answer. Right? The Gemara's answer is, Tlasa ktum eshriche, chad lo katum lo shriach. Or the Gemara's answer is, that doesn't help. But hold the answer for a second. The question. What does the Gemara seem to be saying in this question? The Gemara seems to be encouraging him to lie. Right? They're saying, look, man, I get it, you hold like a retire phone. But if your goal is to undercut the market, you got a better tool in your toolbox. Paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Threaten them with Rabbi Akiva.
What does it mean exactly hold like somebody? Understand his svar or just think that... what? I don't know exactly what it means to hold like one person.
I think it's
the
true.
Other. I don't know.
Hold it for 1 second, right? Let's just analyze the Gemara and then we'll come to you in a second. So the Gemara answers, he really was threatening them as much as he possibly could. Because hadasim are a dime a dozen. Perfect hadasim are hard to find. Mm-hmm. So in fact, the threat was the worst threat he could come up with. Right? That's what it says, right? Plus a ktum eshriche, right? Finding ones that are katum, big deal. That's easy. V'chad lo katum, v'lo katum lo shriach. But one perfect is actually pretty hard. So therefore, by saying he didn't need perfect ones, he was threatening them as much as he could. Now, let's just analyze the Gemara, okay? The Gemara seems to be okay, or even encourage Shmuel to lie, right? Or, be careful, because there's Mati's point, and he's right. Encourage Shmuel to paskin in a way that he does not paskin like, or at least threaten it, to lower prices.
It's pretty weird also, because if you guys hold like Rabbi Shmuel, It shouldn't be.
He doesn't hold like Rabbi Shmuel. That he didn't say, right? But right. So what should he do? Yes.
Well, it sounds weird that he's telling him to lower the prices. It makes sense to charge him a lot.
But he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Shmuel.
Well, he's still
right. Eli Pinkelman. There's a different problem, right? There's two problems here, right? Why is the Gemara encouraging Shmuel to just lie, right, or paskin the way he doesn't paskin?
Two exactly
and,
that way,
right? And there's another problem, which is why. Didn't he just tell people he paskin like Rabbi Tarfon, which was the truth? Right? Meaning, right, the Gemara is totally fine with the fact that he's not saying the truth.
Hello?
Right? Meaning, the Gemara doesn't even ask the question. The Gemara just assumes that he was okay with letting people think that Allah is like Rabbi Shmuel, even though he doesn't agree.
Right. It sounds more he's okay with lying the other way, not the right way.
Shmuel is...
Not actually lying.
Meaning,
okay, not
Shmuel is fine not telling the truth. And the stum of the Gemara is, and the stum of the Gemara is okay with him actively lying lukula.
Yeah, I mean,
correct.
The assumption is
the stumma.
No,
right, not Shmuel. The stum.
I'm confused.
Right, meaning not Shmuel. Right. Shmuel himself, we know
that lie. He originally didn't tell the truth.
He didn't, correct. And the Gemara, the Stam, right, I mean, not Shmuel talking.
Why did he not tell the truth?
Meaning he didn't not, he didn't tell a lie, but he didn't tell the truth. Meaning he didn't publicize. What?
He said he halakha.
No, he does. This is the Gemara saying that he's halakha
Gitarfa. No, halakha Gitarfa, and he's going like his reasoning because he said he's going to do this. This could be after. There's also cryptography to be after the story.
But the Gemara is saying that he holds this way, so why didn't he publicize it? Because what's
the only hold this way because of the story?
No, because the implication is that he really holds like a guitar phone. Right, that's the way the Gemara takes it. That he really holds like a guitar phone, but he didn't tell anybody he held like a guitar phone. And he was, what's the weird implication? He's saying, look, if right now Hadassim Aleph for $100, right? So the Gemara is saying, look, he tells them, go put it down to 50. And then I'll be quiet. And I'll let the public think that the halacha is they need aleph, right, for $50.
That is
halacha. Right.
No, he thinks it's not. He said, but if you don't lower the price to 50, then I'll tell everybody the real halacha, which is Rabbi Tarfon, that it's Shlosha Ketumin, which will lower it to $10.
But either way, you're saying it wrong, halacha.
Right, meaning he's not telling. He's letting people think that halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel.
Darshan it like Reb Tarfon. That means I wasn't being darshan it like Reb Tarfon, but I know how Reb Tarfon's learning. I could learn it like.
Okay, so but that would make it worse. Right?
No, darshina
l'chu. No, darshina l'chu is to them. I will tell the public, not darshina l'chu. Right, I'll tell them. I will be darish in public.
Oh,
meaning.
I thought he would be darish the pasuk like Reb Tarfon.
Okay, so if you read it that way, which I don't think that's how you read it, but if you read it that way, it would only make it worse. He's saying, you know, if you don't, right, if you don't know the price, then I'll pass my guitar phone, right? I'll, against what I thought. I really pass my Shmuel, but the Gemara seems to not hold that way, because it's saying, but either way, the Gemara is totally okay with him hiding the whole truth and nothing but the truth from the public, right? And the Shmuel is, and the Gemara, the stub of the Gemara, right, is actively pushing Shmuel to lie, right?
You mean overcharged.
Okay.
Doing way too much because they know it's a mitzvah.
Now,
so they're way overcharging. So he's like, "You got to lower your price otherwise."
Okay. So now let's try to predict here. Okay. Let's try to. The simple pshat in the Gemara is what I just said. This is the simplest pshat. Now there are a few problems here, right? Let's start with what is clear Shmuel, not the Stam, but Shmuel. Clear within Shmuel is that Shmuel is willing to hold his tongue and let people think that halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, even if it means that people pay more money than they really should be paying. Now that's clear. He just doesn't want them to pay too much money. But more money is okay. Right? $100, no go. You lower it to 50, I'll stay quiet.
Right.
Right? You don't, I'll bring it down to what the price should be, which is $10, because that's all people really need. Is Sug Gimel Hadassim.
Right. But just right now, this is only keeping quiet, not actively saying
that. One thing. So let's just take that. Why would that be okay? I mean, what? Right? Why is that okay?
What's the issue?
Can we perhaps rely on this idea that he's saying his thoughts are they're spending more on the greater one, which is the hither one.
Good. So what John says is exactly what all the Rishonim say, right? Which is, okay, I can easily explain the silence. Or the silence is easy, because the silence is, look, Shmuel thinks that me'ikra din you can get away with three broken ones. That doesn't mean lechatchila you should. It's a hiddur mitzvah to have nice ones. So he tells them, look, lower the prices to something reasonable, and I'll be quiet, and memela, people will have mahadrin, not just kosher, but mahadrin ones, and that's okay. I'm willing to let people spend a few extra dollars. Now, modern sensibilities may not love this, right? Because they'll say, right, what is this? I want to know what's the chiyuv, what's the mahadrin, I want to make that decision myself. I don't want you to tell me I'm spending, I don't want you to trick me into it, but okay,
also,
but the Baalei Tosfot, we'll see, are okay with that notion.
Yeah. Also, right now it's only if he's not saying anything.
Yeah, that's just.
It's not like where a guy comes up to him and he says, "Well, it's Rabbi Shmuel, he lies."
No, fine. But then the second stage is much worse, right? The Gemara then says, "Well, if he's just trying to undercut the market, so just paskal and kavikiva." The simplest, what should the answer of the Gemara have been? And this is what the Ritva is going to shock. What?
He's a hologram.
Yeah, he doesn't hold a Rabbi Akiva. What's that question? He should be. Why is he being threatening to be Dorish like a guitar phone?
He does.
Because he holds like a guitar phone. Right, that makes sense. Right?
Yeah.
Why should he Right? Why should... What is the Gemara doing? Now, before we answer that, look at the Gemara number two. There's a similar Gemara number two, also with Shmuel. This time it was based on a machlokes about Pesach. There was a machlokes whether, because of blios, your kalim every Pesach became treif. Because of chametz shavu lava Pesach and the bliot in the kalim, right? Rav paskins that every Pesach, Amar Rav kederz be Pesach yishbru, right? Hey.
Good to see you.
How are you?
Baruch Hashem.
You're subbing for your father-in-law?
Exactly. The sun sounds.
Where's he traveling now?
London.
London. Okay. Good. Good to see you. Enjoy the shir.
Thanks.
So that's right. That was something.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah.
We saw that.
Possibly deserving to know Rabbi Lau's son-in-law.
Okay. Yes. I mean, his brother is the reason that I live where I do, because a friend of mine from Gush. Anyways, Amar Rav, Kederos bePesach Yishbru. So Rav says that if you have clay kalim, so what do you do every time it comes Pesach time?
Destroy them.
Yep, your fine china every year, right? You have to buy a new set of fine china every year, right? Pesach comes. Why china? Why cheres?
Because
you can't kasher them. Can't kasher them, right? Metal kalim are a problem, also, but you just kasher them. Right? So Rav's position was you smash your china every year. Now, you can imagine that the Gemara says, why? V'amai, l'shinu achar Pesach, leave it till after Pesach, v'lavid behu shalo b'minan, right? And then use it shalo b'minan, because according to Rav Yehuda, then it would be batel. So he says, gzera dil ma'asi lemavid behu b'mino. Right? He holds b'min, right? Mimbi. Mino is not batel, min b'sheno mino is batel. So he said, big deal. So the kalim will be treif, but then you'll just never, let's say it had pasta in it, it pasta blios. So for the rest of time, you'll just never use it for pasta, you'll use it for something else, and it'll always be batel. Okay. The Gemara says, you can't do that. Gzera, you might use it with pasta again, and then the treif of pasta, or the chametz stick of pasta, the blios will come out, it won't be batel, shavot, fine. Ushmuel Amar Lo Yishbru. Ushmuel says you don't have to. Just leave it, right? You don't have to worry about the blios for whatever reason. You don't have to worry about blios because of Rabbi Shimon, who holds there's no halacha of chametz shalav Pesach. Whatever it is, okay. Now, so what happened? So you can imagine that if you paskin like Rav, what happened every erev Pesach or erev Pesach?
They're a bunch of smash pass.
That true, and what else happened? The price when pots went up. China shot through the roof, because not only did you need a new set of pot of China, everybody needed a new set of China, right? So pitaum, right, your new set of China was very, very expensive, erev Pesach.
Right.
Okay? So again, this time Shmuel goes over to the China sellers,
he's
right?
Asking like Shmuel and Dina Mominus, right? Because he was a big businessman.
Yes. So this is what someone said. This is what someone said in Efrat. That we paskin like Rav and Yisurin, but this is an Isur Shaila which became a Dina Mominus Shaila, and the only person we deal with it is Shmuel, right? That may be, there may be something to that. So Shmuel says to the China sellers, the pot sellers, Ashru Zinu Akandaichu, Vilo Darchina Lokarishim, and lower the prices, or else what? I'm going to tell everybody that it's mutter and they don't need a new set of china, which will sort of pull out, right? Because what will happen? People were willing to spend the money on china. Why? Because they had to smash the last ones, so they were willing to do this because it'll be their Shabbos china for next year. Right. I'll tell them they don't need to, and what do? They'll buy plastic plates for the Seder, right? They'll keep their china for the whole year, and they'll go buy nothing, right? And the price of china like that will plummet. Right? So the Gemara says, the Lidrish Lehu, Dach Shmuel Kerbi Shimon Svirle. I don't understand. He actually thinks the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So just say it. So the Gemara says, Asrei de Rav Havei. He couldn't. It was Rav Shul. It was Rav's house. It was Rav's city. So
he's betting into something he can't do.
No, he can. What's he saying? Look. It's like, cover the Mora Da'asra. I'm willing to have a little bit of cover to the Mora Da'asra. Meaning, if it's not going to destroy people financially, I'll keep my mouth shut.
And they're also not going against law.
Oh, good. So, but if not, right, if it's really going to hurt people, so Forget Rob's covode. I am going to destroy you.
Yeah, how can you just choose to take saving the people's money over covered monasteries?
So he's like, you know, it's a balance. You know, it's a balance.
What? I'd like to understand how he gets to this balance.
Okay, it's Akasha. But for the Rishonim, what was really important about this Gemara, as Ellie said, what is the Gemara willing to tolerate? What is not? What is it not?
You can not tell the truth from Bob.
Yeah, it's willing to tolerate people
being quiet.
For some external reason. In this case, it's Kavod HaRav. Right? In the previous one, it was maybe Hid or Mitzvah. But lying, right? What's the Gemara's point? The Gemara here says, why should he paskin like Rabbi Shimon? Because he agrees. Right? He agrees. But the Gemara isn't willing to entertain the possibility that he's going to paskin against the way he thinks is true.
Yeah.
Okay. So good.
Right.
So now let's before we look at the Rishonim, let's try to figure it out. So what two major questions. And a few other questions, right? Two major questions. One is, why does the Gemara in Psachim seem to only tolerate withholding the full truth, and the Gemara in Sukkah tolerates lying? Now that may be easy, because maybe it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
That may be easy.
Sorry, I don't understand that question.
Right, I mean, this is one of the questions that Rishonim were bothered by, which is, why is the Gemara in Psachim only okay with him lying? You know, why is the Gemara in Psachim not okay with him lying, if the Gemara in Sukkah is okay with him lying?
Right?
Right?
It's not, the Gemara in Psachim is not okay with him lying.
They're okay with him withholding truth, but not actively lying. As opposed to, well, because it doesn't bring it up. You're right.
What's it supposed to bring up?
Well, that's exactly... The simple answer is, no, that's not a question, because it's not necessary. He actually holds the most makel possible shita in the Urim Sachim. That doesn't mean he couldn't lie if there was a more makel shita, it's just that there is none.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's an easy one. Right? The bigger question... I mean, yes.
No, because it's just he holds like a Rishonim. That's,
yeah, he really does.
No, but the reason there's a question is because they don't... He can't actually lie. That's how you know this.
Correct. So the way... The question how you read that line is it... Why doesn't he tell the truth? He holds like it. Or is it, right, or is it implication, but if it was a lie, no one would ever say he can lie. Or is it law, and that's where the Rishonim come to that implication. Mm-hmm. The other way is the way Mati's reading it, which is, well, why doesn't he just say it? It's the truth. Right, you don't even have to bend over backwards here. I'm not, right, I don't know what he would do in a case where he's lying. Right, but it's unnecessary here. Right? Right?
It's not necessarily against
him. How do you know he holds like that?
Because he does. No, that's the assumption of the Gemara. The Gemara is...
Doesn't it say this?
Well, yeah, that's what he says. Right? That he is. Shmuel Amar Lo Yishbru. That was the beginning of the Gemara. He doesn't paskin like Rav. Rav says break it. Shmuel said not. It was right there. Shmuel Amar Lo Yishbru.
Yes, but then it says he's going like his own reasoning, which means it's
correct.
Like a previous thing. And now that previous thing we're saying.
No, it's us to Shmuel the time. He said, I know that this is Shmuel's position because this story. You're right. You can. How did the Gemara know? But the Gemara's assumption.
I think it's proof it's not lying.
The Gemara's assumption is that it's true. Right? That's really how he holds.
Yeah.
Okay? So, but the bigger question is, okay, but so what's going on in the Gemara and Sukkah? Right? What is this? Right? By what stretch of the imagination is it legitimate for Shmuel? Right? Why would the Gemara entertain the possibility and say, just go ahead. Right? Just lie. Do whatever you need to do. Good. Tell me. So, talk to me.
There are higher concerns besides halacha.
Okay. And, therefore what? So how does this justify it?
But neither position is... It's not like he's making up a sheet. The Gemara would never tolerate him making up a
sheet. Okay, good. So there's two different positions playing here. Zev, articulate your position. And therefore what? But let's spell it out.
Therefore,
what do we say, Shmuel? What is the Gemara actually suggesting?
You can do whatever you can.
Lying, right? Yeah. Mom is lying, right? Because there are social concerns that override Ikra Din.
Yeah.
That's one way of reading this. Mati implies a different read, which is.
I also hold this. I hold that the only way you'd be able to do this is in such a case, but I don't think.
What you're saying is not what he's saying. You're saying something different. What do you say?
No, I'm saying that it's not an actual lie. It's just possibly like a different sheet.
That's different.
Yeah.
Right. What you're saying is right. What Zev is proposing is the possibility that yes, there are higher values that would actually allow you to lie straight up about the halacha is.
Right. Mati
is saying maybe this isn't a lie. Right? I'm not pinning you to this position. I'm saying constructing a theoretical. One is that you can actually lie.
I think both of us need each other, though.
No.
Zev's not suggesting you can make up a sheet, though.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I want to articulate the ways you could read this Gemara.
Yeah.
One is to say you could straight up lie. It's helpful that Rabbi Kiva holds that way, but if he didn't, right, that would be one radical way. Another way is to take it the way Mati does, which is wait, right, which is no, this is not quite a lie. Because there is such a shita, and therefore it is legitimate to maybe, because of some elu ve'elu thing, there is another shita. What?
Is that machlok saying machlok ve'elu ve'elu?
Whether one is right and one is wrong? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, Mati is opening the possibility that maybe you can't lie, but because of the, you know, some level of elu ve'elu, I'm allowed to say a position that somebody holds, because it's not a real lie, it's saying another possible truth, right? That's formulation two. Yeah. Possibly three that Zev just said is maybe it's not even quite that, right? Maybe it's not, I'm allowed to lie by posking a different shita, which is not a total lie. Maybe it means that for societal needs, what am I allowed to do? Posken like a different shita, which is psikara lacha b'sharatcha. That's three.
I'm
not pinning you to any positions. I'm just articulating the theoreticals here.
Can we question two of those theoreticals?
One second. Well, first let's articulate all the theoreticals. What's another model? What else might be going on here? What else might he be doing? Lying. Poskening like a different shita. Not poskening like a different shita, but saying a different shita, which is somewhere between a lie and poskening like a different shita. And what else?
Threat, but that's the same.
Come on. Guys, last week, what might he be doing?
Ochre government at all.
Yeah, he might not be poskening differently. He might be saying, you know, this is totally wrong, but sometimes I'm allowed to do that. Right? I'm allowed to do that. I can make up whatever I want.
I should be all alone.
What?
I should be all alone. He's a hider.
We'll see. There's going to be somebody who holds this, and he's a very small, not such important person in this group of Judaism.
Is it the Rambam?
No, it's Rashi. Not on Shmuel, honestly. He says it in an identical case in Prisos. The Kapot Marim we're going to see is going to say it here. Who is not as important as Rashi, but he gets it from Rashi. Okay, fine. So let's see. Okay, so before we actually see the shita that the Rishonim take, Mati, what bothers you? What's bothering you about these formulations?
Oh, I mean, just from the Gemara, there's no even, like, shash to say that you can actually lie. Like, the Gemara just says about in a different person, and all the Gemara's suggestions...
Good, so you don't like that shita.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's my question.
Assuming Shmuel holds Rabbi Tarpon is correct.
That's Rabbi lying. Is
wrong. Just lying.
Yeah.
You can say Rabbi Kiva's opinion, but he's Rabbi Kiva's wrong.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, he's not making up a shita, and I asked you if you tolerate making up a shita, and you said yes. So I don't know, like, your reason. You know,
what would be the difference?
Different words.
What would be the difference between saying a different opinion and
saying an opinion that you completely believe is wrong?
No, so.
You think it's a wrong opinion or a made up opinion? What's the difference?
Well, I assume one makes the Boston like. You could have asked him, like...
Okay, good.
Yeah, I just completely...
Right,
so
good.
If I don't actually hold it wrong, you don't have to... Even if I don't believe it's...
I don't even mean hold it wrong. I don't know what this means.
You think what he's saying isn't true.
I can't... I don't know if when you postulate one person, it means you think the other person is wrong, but you just don't do that.
So like I said, Mati is raising the possibility that this is unique to a case where there's a multiple shitot, and then there's some sort of elu ve'elu,
and I got a question. So why didn't the Gemara ask, instead of asking why I'm postulating Rabbi Kiva, why didn't the Gemara say, and why wasn't he make a more and say that you only need one, and it's not good? That's a great shitot.
To you, Ellie. The easy way to answer that Gemara is...
Yeah, and you know who's going to bring that up? Someone's going to bring that up. Don't worry.
No, not better.
Don't worry. Someone's going to say that, too. Someone's going to say that, too.
What?
Someone's going to say that, too.
Socially accepted to say an opinion that wouldn't happen. You wouldn't have to say that. Can't walk around and say another opinion. No one's going to believe it's the halakha. So I was like, I believe that's halakha, because that's an actual opinion.
Okay, technicalities.
I know it's technicality.
I'm not saying it's bad.
Wrong.
Good. So this is exactly the issue here, right? Is that this question, again, is clearly an issue where someone is playing somewhat with halacha for some sort of social good, right? what exactly halacha allows you to do for that, or what Shmuel, what is the Gemara suggesting Shmuel does, is not 100% clear. But the Rishonim stake out different positions that show you very different conceptions of what exactly is legitimate for social concerns at the cost of normative halacha. Okay, that's right. That's clearly the question here. Right, the question is what is legitimate? When is it? How far is it legitimate to diverge from normative halacha for a social concern? Right now, the possibilities here are possibly a different shita, lying straight out, lying about shita, akir davar min haTorah. Right, those are pretty radically different. Right, claims of how far one can do can go for this social concern. Okay, let's look at Tosfos. Number three. Religious look Rabbi Akiva to make Kol Tfei. Tema! Halo sphere like Rabbi Akiva, ela Kirby Tarfon. Tosfos says, what are you talking about, people? He doesn't. What is this Gemara? I don't understand. When the Gemara says he threatened them with a retarfon, I understand. He paskins like a retarfon. That's a good threat. Why is the Gemara telling me paskins like Rabbi Akiva? He doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. That should have been the answer. But the Gemara should have said, let him say that looks like Rabbi Akiva. Answer, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. End of story. Not good enough. Right? So, you would think that based on Tosfos' question, that his answer would be, you know...
satisfactory.
Yeah. But no, he's... like, because in the question, he's totally bothered, and he's like, how could you lie? Right? You don't hold that way. Or how could you paskin not like the way... right? You would think his answer would be like, he isn't doing that, right? No, Tosfos says, apparently in the answer it didn't bother him. In the question, this bothered him, and then he's like, yeah, you know what? It's fine, I'm okay with this. I'm totally okay with this, right? He says, and he has a very convoluted argument here. He says, v'yesh lomar d'cholze min ha-diyuk. Right, so this is how you have to read it. It's one big diyuk. This is how it works. Shebalo chiach d'shmul t'aymei kirabi tarfon sfirlei. The Gemara is trying to prove one thing, that he holds like Rabbi Tarfon. Because im kvar he was lying, right? Meaning he was paskining against his own shita just to scare them. He might as well have lied on himself. So what was the Gemara's hava amina, according to Tosfos? That maybe you can prove from this story that he paskins like Rabbi Tarfon. Why? Now, just watch how radical this Tosfos is. He's saying, the Gemara's hava amina was that he can't lie. And therefore, the Gemara wanted to prove, why? How does the Gemara know he can't lie? Because he only paskins Rabbi Tarfon and not Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, the Gemara said, if he were just lying to get the market to lower its price, so then he should have gone for the most mekel shita. The fact that he didn't go for the most mekel shita shows that he wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. And that's why he couldn't go for the more mekel shita.
The Gemara doesn't hold of that proof.
No, and then the Maskana...
oh, this is why it's so radical. Tosfos says, the Hava Amina of the Gemara, before the line of this is the most mekel shita, yeah, is that this is a good proof that Shmuel holds like a retarfon, because if he was just lying, he should have lied like the more extreme position. Since he didn't make the boldest lie he could have made, it must not be a lie. It must be the truth.
But then
right?
It is the
exactly.
Truth.
And then he says, that's great. Right? And the Gemara's answer is, nah, he really was lying. Right, or he might have been lying, but it was the most mekel shita he could come up with, right? Because Retarfon is in fact more mekel than Akiva, and therefore the way Tosfos reads this Gemara is that the havamina of the Gemara is, look, he didn't make the boldest lie he could make. It must be he was telling the truth, and that's why he limited himself to Retarfon and Rabbi Akiva. And Gemara's answer was, no, we're totally okay with lying. You can't prove that how Shmuel holds. Because what he said was, in fact, the boldest thing he could have said. So therefore, it could be he said it because it was true. Or he could say because it was the best lie he could come up with, and we just don't know.
Why couldn't he come up with the other one?
Because it wasn't as good. He could have come up with it, but the Gemara's Maskana is not as good of a lie. Because one perfect is not as good of a lie as three imperfect.
There's
right?
The Tosfos is not
like himself.
Correct. Words, yeah. According to the Gemara's, right, according to Tosfos' radical read, the Gemara's Havamina is that Shmuel wouldn't lie, and his Maskana is, you know, he really might lie, and therefore I can prove nothing from this story, because in the end of the day, the fact that he threatened with a retarphone doesn't prove he poskins like a retarphone. It could be he poskins like a retarphone, or it could be he's just a really good lawyer, right?
The vows of Shmuel and Latama is not like a thing. Just
so he says, no, so the way Tosfos reads it is, Azul Shmuel Taimei is, isn't this Shmuel Taimei? And the Gemara's answer is, nah, it could be Shmuel Taimei, or it could be him lying. We don't know.
I thought every time the Gemara says, Azul somebody Taimei, it's a
good... Oh, it's a very weird read. That's what I'm telling you. This is extremely... Tosfos, this is what's weird about Tosfos. His question was, how could somebody lie? And his answer is, I'm going to counter-read the Gemara against the way the words Azda Litaimei normally go in order to construct a read of the Gemara that says that I can't derive anything from Shmuel's position because he's so ready to lie that I can prove nothing when he says something because he could be telling the truth or he could be lying. Right? I mean, that's... Right, Tosfos, it's like Tosfos goes out of his way to say what Zev said before in Zev's radical formulation, which is... Right? Yeah, do whatever you want. Right? That sometimes there are values that override halacha. Big deal.
Except, can you get up there and say grab his work anymore?
And then he says, "Umiu kasha mi perakol shah." So now, this is amazing, right? So now Tosfos says, I have a kasha. Because I've just read this Gemara as saying that Shmuel is totally fine lying.
Right.
But the implication in perakol shah, now you can skip down.
That's
is to mashma, right? That's the quote of the Gemara. We just read it. Look down to mashma, three lines under that. Got it?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Three lines under the parentheses. Umashma behedya d'loma vachem d'lo suffer lay. But the implication of the Gemara in Pesachim is that he would never scare people with a position he doesn't hold of. He was just threatening them with a position he did hold of. He says, v'yesh lomar. He said, nah, the hazam lama lo lavchidem d'lo suffer lay. That doesn't prove he wouldn't lie. It just proved he didn't need to lie. Right? I mean, Tosfos is like doubling down, right? Tosfos is like, you can't prove what he holds because he might lie. Why doesn't he lie in the other Gemara? Because he didn't need to lie. If he needed to lie, go ahead. Do whatever you want. Right?
Who cares?
Right?
Does Tosfos hold that Be'adza Shmuel the Taimei is also going against?
No, he seems to read Azza Shmuel the Taimei normally in Pesachim.
Right, why is it approved in Pesachim?
What?
It's not
a proof of anything, but he's saying it happens to be, it fits in. Right? It doesn't prove it, it just fits in. So now go to Ve'im Tomar. So he says, okay. So now the other question, right? So far he's willing to lie. Now he says, okay. Ve'im Tomar, he's sub-electory tar from Lidger's Lukavase. Right? This is the other question, which is, okay, but wait a second. Let's say he does hold a guitar phone. So why is he telling them, you better lower your prices or I will tell people the truth? Just tell them the truth, what, right? And the prices will go down, right? Meaning, what are you doing to me, right?
It's a good point.
Right. So what does he say? So go to Yesh Lomar, and this is what John said before. Yesh Lomar, doch einiach mishum eder mitzvah, because he wanted people to have better hadasim.
Right.
Now, so let's spell out Tosfos' conception of halacha here. First of all, he says you are allowed, it seems, you're allowed to lie, because sometimes it sounds like social goals, right, of not making people spend too much money, override the halacha. That's the simplest read of Tosfos. Right, the other Rishonim will deny this, but that seems to be the simplest read of Tosfos. Again, it might be that this is unique, because it's halacha, and there's an actual shita, but he doesn't seem to go that direction. Right, we'll see other people who go that direction. Meaning, if you wanted to say this was psikara halacha b'sharat chak, and you're allowed to rely on a minority shita, there are ways of saying that, like this. He's allowed to rely on the Shitas Yachid because you're allowed to rely on Shitas Yachid b'shas atrak. You could have just said that, right? You wouldn't have said, well, what Tosfos says, right? The second thing is that Tosfos, and this you can't deny, right? There's no way out of this one, is that Tosfos is okay with holding truth to gently encourage people without them knowing to be Mekayim HaMitzvah Lehidura. Right?
Yeah.
Rather than telling people this is the price you have to spend and this is what you should spend, right? He's willing to, which is interesting because it does point in the direction, this is for Hidur Mitzvah, that Hidur Mitzvah may not, right? We tend, you know, Rashi in Yom HaDaf Ayin says that Hidur Mitzvah isn't about the Chefza Shal Mitzvah. It's Tiferes Ba'aleha Shetarach Lefanov B'Mitzvos. right? That it is the hider mitzvah isn't the cheftza shal mitzvah. It's that it's the hider of the bialim that they put in the extra effort for the mitzvah, right? Tiferes be'aleha shetarach lefanav b'mitzvos, right? Tosfos seems not to hold that way, right? Because Tosfos is saying there's a value to hider mitzvah, even if even the Baal doesn't realize it's a hider, right? It's just a nicer cheftza.
Could still be even if he puts in more effort, if he doesn't know he's putting the effort. So
I mean, right, it could be that he says, well, no, it's still valuable. He's still expending himself, right? It's good. He may not be, right, meaning he's still putting it for that reverence. He doesn't know it's hider mitzvah, but he is extending himself to spend the extra money.
And it is a nicer cheftza.
And it is a nicer cheftza, so it might also be a cheftza, but that's a hider. So, okay, fine. That's Tosfos. The Ritva nearly has a heart attack.
Well, sorry, the end of Tosfos isn't important.
No, and that, then he just proves it, right? I mean, then he just says, yeah, okay. Yeah. Right, and he just goes through...
Why, even a corner of a terrible hitter?
No,
well,
no,
just, okay, you want the other one? Okay, this is... I left it for later.
I don't know.
Yeah, I left it for later. We'll come back to it, okay?
Okay.
A hitter. And he proves it from another Gemara, which we'll come to, okay?
Who proves what?
This notion that you can do things like that. Right, they like encourage people to do hider, right, from another Gemara in Bava Basra. Okay, we'll hold off on that for now. Okay, let's focus on the central question. The Ritva nearly has a heart attack. He mamish does. He just doesn't know what's going on here. And the Ritva says, Tmiya Milsa Tufa. Right? What's Tmiya?
Wonders.
Yeah, this is shocking. He's like, I don't know what's going on. So Kevin the Shmuel Kirabi Tarfon Svirale, Hechi Matzid Darish Kirabi Akiva, the Lesokazakavasa Lidide. Well, what is this? He doesn't paskin the Rabbi Akiva. What's the Shaila? Now, I said this to some of my guys. There's some of the guys who were in the shir when I was giving an Efrat. They said, oh, like Mati said, maybe this is based on some sort of Elu Ve'elu. The problem is, who is the Baal HaMemra who thinks that Elu Ve'elu means there's mamish multiple truths?
The Ritva.
The Ritva. But the Ritva, despite that,
doesn't seem
is not willing, even though he thinks that in Shamayim there's multiple truths, he's not willing for someone to paskin like something that's not his truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we talked about this a bit the last few weeks, right? That just because you hold of Elu Ve'elu and Shamayim doesn't mean that once the process has determined something, you're willing to treat those lemaisa as live options.
Right.
Right? So the Ritva seems to go in that direction. And then he says, what is going on here? So he says, Ubitosvos parashu dot dot dot. So Tosvos gives this convoluted answer that doubles down on the lie. Right? Velo nihira klal. So this makes no sense. Right, none. Chada, the heichay efshar de lehavi Shmuel gonev daitam lahavchid b'sheker. Right, how could he lie to the merchants b'sheker? And what is that? And he says, furthermore, and this is very clever. Tava is like, and you know what's going to happen? I know exactly what's going to happen because you know what's going to happen. Shmuel is going to go to the merchants and he's going to say, listen, guys. Lower the price from $100 to $50 for perfect hadassim, and I'll be quiet. Right? Let's say he doesn't hold that's the halacha. That's not the halacha. Right? What's going to happen? He said, I know what I'm going to do if I'm a businessman. Shmuel just gave us a petach. Now, remember, according to Ritva, if he's lying, meaning if Shmuel is willing to lie and tell them, I will say that the halacha is you don't need any perfect ones. But he really doesn't hold that way. He passes that we shmuel, that you need a perfect one.
One of three options. Two options. Yeah. Either you tell everyone that he's lying.
So this is what the Ritva comes up with. This is what he said. I'm telling you what's going to happen. The merchants will say, oh, Shmuel just told us the halacha is only going to be a tarfon, but as long as we don't lower the price too much, he won't tell everybody. Which means, we'll sell everybody else the perfect hadassim for a mid-level price, but so that we can maximize our profit, we'll take all the garbagey hadassim for ourselves because we know the truth. That the halacha is like a retar phone. So Ritva says, "What do you mean? Wait, you mean according to Tosfos, it could be that he really holds like a Shmuel that you need a perfect one, right? Well, plus three.
Well, the story doesn't prove it. I'll take
what."
The story doesn't prove.
Correct. Meaning, he said Tosfos is willing to entertain the possibility that Shmuel really holds like Rabbi Shmuel, namely that you need three, one of which is perfect, but he was threatening them with a lie that you need imperfect. He said, what's going to happen? First of all, he's lying to them. Second of all, not only is he lying,
he could make
but he's going to make halacha worse because they're going to end up selling perfect things for mid-level expense, and themselves will, by mistake, because they'll think the real halacha is going to be tarfon because he was lying to them,
right?
They'll end up using imperfect ones to them so they can drive the prices up to the perfect ones for the people who don't know the truth. Right? There's buzz like, this is such a bad idea. Right? Not only is it a lie, but it is such a gross, a bad idea. Right? So that's what his next line is. He says, "Vo nafik mine churva. Leman de shama ola nchori gufay da'avdi oshana didhu biktumin katsurin de bekushta kamala Shmuel." Right? Anyone listening will think that Shmuel was telling the truth, meaning when he was lying and possibly going to be tarfon, they'll think it's the truth, even though Tosos entertained the possibility he really possibly is going to be Shmuel. And he says, furthermore, the Gemara in Pesachim implies that he only says things that are true. Right? Because the Gemara's language there was Pasken Gavri Shimon, because you hold that way. Right?
Right.
So therefore, you skip to the next paragraph, he says, now, to solve the problem, he comes up with another interesting read, which is the Rabban says that
Rabban,
yeah, Rabbeinu HaGadol, right? The pasuk Shmuel Achkari Tarfon Biktumin Shakatum Hadar Veinu Makiv Kimlan Dminyana Kerabi Kiva Umachshar Bechad Mevaydari Tarfon Yichida. He said, really, the answer is that a tarfon holds like a... Sorry, a shmuel holds like a fourth position that we've never heard of.
Oh, no.
Which is one imperfect. Right? That's really what's going on. Do a tarfon lo mashma de pog minyona. Vi pog nami kvar chazar baru yishmol vahot dor vi kivo machar bechad. Vi tarfon ri chigda. Umishum hachi akshin behed yav. Elidro ur kari kiva. Tekim lo alach zekavah kari kiva. So when the Gemara says, let him pass on the kari kiva, what is it saying? Because
he holds
like Rabbi Akiva. He holds like Rabbi Tarfon plus Rabbi Akiva. One imperfect. So the Gemara is never suggesting a lie. It's suggesting the truth.
Then he's lying. Why is he lying?
Dude, it's still not the truth.
What? No, meaning he's willing to withhold the truth, but he's never willing to lie. Meaning, he'll tell Al Paskin one down, right?
Right.
Now, this is a very hard read of the Gemara. Right? Because the Gemara says it's Rabbi Tarfon or Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Tarfon plus Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara goes out of its way to explain why one was better than the other. What is this like?
Anyone in Rabbi Akiva's group would never say Rabbi Tarfon is
getting told that you should have
Tarfons. It's not you only can use one that is perfect. It's just
So then he says like this. He says, what's really going on? The Gemara is saying, why doesn't he threaten them with Rabbi Akiva's own position? Meaning not his position of Rabbi Akiva. And it's because one perfect is too expensive. So therefore, what he was threatening was, in fact, the unique position, Rabbi Tarfon plus Rabbi Akiva.
Wait, what's Rabbi Tarfon plus Rabbi Akiva?
Oh, wow.
Well,
really?
No, I understand. Right now, what comes out from
Rabbi Huda says in the Mishmol,
right?
Like Rabbi Tarfon.
So what happens here? Right. So this is very strange.
Why does he say plus of two mishchicha?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Right. So he says,
Oh, so why did you ask Rabbi Akiva along?
So he says, here's the problem. He said, wait a second. He said, now that I've constructed the position, that Shmuel in fact holds like a fourth position that we've never heard of.
But isn't he saying that's where Tarfon holds?
At least the way Shmuel understands Rabbi Tarfon. However, whoever, whatever.
Okay.
I mean, yes, he thinks Shmuel thinks Rabbi Tarfon thinks this.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, fine. So now he says, but wait a second. According to Gemara in Psachim, once you actually hold like a position, you should say it.
Right.
So why didn't he just say it? Right now he's boxed himself into a corner. Right? Because the Gemara in Psachim says that if you know a position is right, then what? You should say it, barring kavod harav. But if you actually hold that one katum is kasher, so then because there's no kavod harav in this situation, he should have said it lechatchila, right? So he then pulls out the hiddur mitzvah card, right? Same hiddur mitzvah. Now, what do you see again? right? The Ritva, so the Ritva has to bend over backwards to read this sugya. But what conviction is it that drives the Ritva to read the Gemara in such a radical way?
He cannot accept the lies.
Yeah, lo al dash from adam. Now, even he is willing to accept this notion that you're allowed to withhold truth to nudge people towards hiddur mitzvah.
But you can't lie in that.
But lie he's not willing to accept. Right? And he's so convinced of this that he has to bend over backwards. Right? So far, what do we have? The Ritva, his conception of psak is, under what circumstances can you bend the truth or bend your position in halacha, even if it's not a truth question, it's an ill, right, whatever, for a social good? The answer is?
Never.
Actively, never. Passively, if there's
always.
A... Well, not always, but if there's...
Actively, you could machmer.
Right. No, passively could be machmer.
And actively. You can say Rabbi Akiva, even though you don't hold like Rabbi Akiva.
Well, that machmer. Maybe. Maybe. Right? But he seems to say, look, passively I let people be machmir, either for either mitzvah or for kavod rav, but to actually paskin like a shita you don't hold like kula for some, for anything? Lo al dashum adam. You can't lie, right? It's going to das abrios, it will cause kurva, you can't do it. Tosvos?
Yeah,
whatever. Right? Good. The kapot marim. But who's the Kapot Marim?
Rashi's great grandson.
No, okay. So, Kapot Marim is the Marl Bach. Before we look at the Marl Bach inside, to get in, we get where he's coming from, so go to number 9. Okay? The Mishnah in Krisa says as follows: Ha'isha she'esha le'a safik chamisha zivos v'safik chamisha leidos. If a woman theoretically has multiple chiyuve karbanos because of ziva and yoledes and whatever, she only has to bring one. Okay, because it's safek, she only needs one, and then she can eat kachim. Okay. Chamesh ledos vados, chamesh zivos vados. Okay, even if it's vadai, she can do the same thing. Now this is not everybody's position. So once it happened that the price of these birds shot up in Yerushalayim. So Amar Rishim ben Gamliel, Amon Azelo Olin Alayla Shubi Bidinarin. He said, I'm not going to let the night go through until the price crashes. Right? Nichnas lebezdin velimed ha'isha she'esha le'achamish leidos vados chamish zivas vados mevi'a gram echad velchelz bezvachem ve'ena shara le'achova. Okay? Sorry, I misread that. The first case was safek, and we said she can bring a... She eats one, and she doesn't have to bring the rest. If it's vadai, she can eat karbanos after one, but she has to bring the rest.
I understand.
Okay? Is that clear? I misread the first time. Got it?
Yeah.
Are all the details so important?
Yeah. One more time, right? If you have suffic carbonos,
mm-hmm.
Okay, you only need to bring one, full stop. If you have multiple chiyuve carbon, so you have to bring a carbon for every chiyuv, but you can eat kadshim after you've brought one carbon. But because the halacha was that you had to bring a carbon for every chiyuv, so the price shot through the roof. So Rishon ben Gamliel said, I'm going to lower the price by publicly saying that even when you have 10 vadai chiyuve karban, you can get away with one karban total. Okay, how could he do such a thing? So Rashi says, Avo bisha hekel divrei Torah, even though he went against the Torah, Eis lasos lashemu. It was Eis lasos. So because if he didn't paskin that way, the price would be too expensive. People wouldn't even bring one. And they don't bring one, it'd be usher to eat kachim, right? And they'd have tumas haguf. And it'd be even worse. And therefore we invoked
Okur Davar
Min HaTorah. So the kapot marim, and I guess we'll stop with this for now.
No.
Okay. Well, we'll stop it. We'll continue next week. But the Kapot Marim says in 5, "Religious Rabbi Akiva." He says, "It ikla make meidak." He said, "What?" Well, the Kapot Marim is going to flesh it out, but sure.
Why is the fact that they're not going to have one make a difference?
because they don't even have one, they'll be tamei.
Because
they're mechusar kapara. Right, without a single carbon in the tamei, they'll eat kachim, which is even worse. Mm. Right, meaning it won't just be mevatel their mitzvah to bring a carbon, but they'll eat zvachim betumas aguf as mechusari kapara. Meaning, even if it's true, they're chayev 10 carbonos,
but they're not going to bring any.
They're not going to bring any of them anyways. Right, so they'll mevatel mitzvahs to say. But if they don't even bring one because it's too expensive,
right.
So it'll be worse, because not only will they be mevatel or mitzvah saseh to bring their karbanos, they'll end up eating kachim mechusarei kapara, meaning without having brought a karban, so they'll still be tamei. That's worse.
So you allow them to bring one, and that's all.
Correct. Keneged halacha. Right? Now it's not a different shita.
Keneged halacha, or are we possibly like that?
No. So Zerashi says, there is no such shita.
It's eisasos.
Right? It's eisasos. So the Kabo Tamarim says, ikalameidak.
What? Even without a hedge. It's crazy. Yeah.
Correct. So the Kabo Tamarim says, ikalameidak. The my parchina, I mean, whatever, maybe not. Rosh Hashanah Gamliel is the Nasi.
Right, makes sense.
Right? Right? He is the Nasi, so it could be that he'll get the Sanhedrin to Basel. I don't know. Right? But the Kapot Marim doesn't take it that way. Right? Maral Bach says, Ikal Medak, the my parchia tosos, Valavishumes las lashem, Yachal Godlador, Lahaka Bashil Torah, right? Against what Eli says. He said, you don't need a Sanhedrin, you need a Godlador. Right? Big deal.
What Maral Bach stands for what?
He's Lady Bin Khabib.
I think he's speaking about Hebrew.
Yes, he's the Rabbi Ben Chaviv. Ralbach is the. If you know that, you know this great Smicha controversy.
Cool.
No.
Yes, of course.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So far
of 15.
Correct. 54. So the person who, so the one who encouraged reinstituting Smicha was Mari Beirav in Svat, okay. And the one who opposed him was the Ralbach in Yerushalayim.
That's the guy.
That guy.
Heard a lot about that guy.
That guy.
That.
I heard a little bit about this. I don't know enough about it, but I've heard now it's controversy. I didn't know what controversy was. Now I've heard it's not. I heard, didn't realize what it was.
Okay. The guys in spots will hold the heavens, right?
No. Anyways, so he says the Gadol Hador can just be Mekil. Aval pi she'eino kehalacha. Even though it's not the halacha, how does he know? And he quotes the Mishnah and
Rashi.
So. So he says. Oh, so that's his first answer. Yesh lomar, he says, technicality. De'eno yachal lahaka b'shemeis asut l'Hashem el gadol ador she'en l'malei menu kagon r'shem gamlel she'en nasi. Al mi she'en nasi en yachal lahakel. You can't just be a gadol hador, you need to be the gadol hador. Shmuel was a gadol hador, but he wasn't necessarily the gadol hador.
Rob was great, no?
Oh, whatever, Rob. Yeah, so fine. Right, his point is, I'm not saying the gadol hador can't do this. He just needs to be the gadol hador. Right? Your regular run-of-the-mill gadol hador, right? Just because you have a gadol book about you doesn't mean you can be a good darim and a Torah. Right? You need to be, you know, you need to be another Behuda, right?
Right.
So this is...
The name, or like you mean
no book? No.
You need to be Rabbi Cheskel Landa, right? Right? The Noda Behuda.
Is that what that means? Noda Behuda.
No, it's the name of his book. Is it his name?
Yeah, okay.
Nura.
It's also possible.
Okay. No, the reason I'm saying
like
that.
Like referring to like.
No, the reason I'm saying that is because this is something that Schneer Lyman was pointed out. Was that if you look at Haskamos from the time of the Noda Behuda, so all the Gedolim get Harav HaGaon. The Harav HaGaon Yeshua Falk.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that, by the way? The Pnei Yeshua. Right, these are important people. Right? Harav HaGaon, Rav Yaakov Emden, Harav HaGaon, Rav Yonason Eibshitz. Right? Harav HaGaon. Right? The Noda Behuda gets.
Noda
Behuda. Harav Hagon Hamafursam Nasi Hador Mofes Yisrael. Right, Gate? So, you know, and this is while he was the rabbi of a small shtiebel in Yampol. This is not when he became the chief rabbi of Prague. This is before that when he's still the rabbi of some nowhere in the middle of nowhere.
Yampol.
Yampol. Yeah, Yampol was the Yampol was really the middle of nowhere. This is not like, oh no, it was really an important city you've never heard of. No, it really wasn't. He just went from being the rabbi of a nowhere to being the Rav of Prague, because he was that good, right? So you need to be the Gadol Hador, right? Not just a Gadol Hador, you need to be the Gadol Hador. Fine. Not a Sanhedrin, but the Gadol Hador. How do you vote? How do you get voted into the position? Nowadays, it's a machlokas between the Haredi newspapers, right? They each appoint. No, that was what happened after Rabbi Yashiv passed away. Each of the newspapers appointed a new Gadol Hador.
Really?
Yes. Yes, like each of them chose who they thought the next Gadol Hador was.
Awesome.
It was very strange. It was very odd. One thought it was Steinman. One thought it was Shmuel Orbach. Okay, fine.
Wow.
Inami. Says Inami. Alternatively, Shlomer, the shiny hasam, the kula yibeshev al tase. Remember what we saw last week?
No.
He says, right? He says, Akira's Dabramat Torah is much more makil if what?
Sevatase.
What?
Might it be Akira Dabramat Torah?
What?
Said,
yeah, he said, it's Beshev al tase. Right, so he says, Shev al tase. So he says, look, to tell someone not to bring a karban, that is passive. And it's easier to uproot the Torah passively. Now, he does need to pull a little bit of a shtick here. And he says, this is a little bit of a shtick. So he says, but telling someone about the hadassim is active. Why? Because now they're going to actually take the wrong hadassim, make a bracha, whatever. Right? They're going to do a maisa.
If it means an assay or a active action.
So it's a bit hard. It's a bit hard because, right? I mean, he thinks that taking a lulav and esrog that isn't kosher is like shaloka halacha, like active. I'm not convinced.
That's, strange, yeah.
That's a bit weird. But okay, that's his second possibility. Okay? Turn to the next page. Ach kosher. De'ema de'mayde parach v'gemar avet lidr shalur k'vi kiva ha'ina mishum matchak. De'shad atchak yachal besen l'horos lach el apisar esay yachad. V'chein kazav ha'rajba. Right? He said, I don't understand. Why is all this necessary? Just say this wasn't. Why are you saying Akiris Dabramat Torah? Why are you saying lying? Just say what Mati said. This is Psikad al Chabishad Atchak. Right? The Rajba says you're allowed to be to Paskin, Afilu B'da Araisas, Bishad Atchak. Right? This is the way the Bach understands it. Right? The Bach against the Shach. Right? The Bach understands the Rajba as saying that you're allowed to Paskin, Bishad Atchak, even like another legitimate Shita.
The Marl Bach or the Bach?
The Bach. Not the Bach. Real circus. Not the Marl Bach.
Come on.
Real circus. Right? We saw a few weeks ago. But this we saw... What?
I said it was a clown on his off time.
Yeah. So we saw this a few weeks ago, right? The Machlokes Shach and Bach about what the Rajba means in Aleph Rishon Gimel, right? Can you be Mekil B'Shas Atchak even on Daraisas, only in Darabanans? Right? The Shach says only in Darabanans, the Bach says on Daraisas. But the Marl Bach says, what is this? Why does everybody convince that there's lying going on, Akiras Dabramat Torah going on? I don't understand what's going on, right? Just say that in this sugya, at least, all that's going on is he's paskening. Like a Shitas Yachid. B'Shas Atchak, that's totally legitimate.
So the Shach holds which one and the Bach holds which one?
The Shach holds only by their Rabbanan. The Bach holds by their Reisa. Reluchon Sin paskens like the Bach. Reshachter paskens like the Shach.
Good.
Okay. Rav Aaron is more Mekil, Rav Shechter is more Machmer. Okay? That's how I think about it in YU terms. Right? Hence, I'm willing to be Samechan, like theoretically, if anyone ever asked me a shot that required that, right? I'd Paskin like the Bach. No one will, you know, no one asked me such silas.
Because Rav Aaron Paskin like the Bach.
Rav Aaron Paskin like the Bach. I mean, it's also what the Rashba says. I am moide that my Rebbe was right. I'm just going like my Rebbe, don't ask me any shilas, right?
That's
data. What?
It's only Daraisa.
No, it's even Daraisa. Even Daraisa. Yeah. I mean, it does seem to be the simple pshat of the Rashba. As I point out to people, where did Rucham Sin say it? It's hidden in a footnote. In
the Kabbalah from Marmol.
Ma'anosh. This is footnote 197 in Ma'anosh. Right?
This is
Daraisa. Yeah. It's Daraisa. So when you pass him like the Bach.
Kabbalah from Marmol is passing like
the Bach. Correct. He says, so now go look at the next bullet. He says, Venira. The low amru kedayu ploni lismoch alavchas b'shas atchak elok shabezdin shabal yado maisa in da'ito machras lechem latzad. Remember, I quoted this from Lichtenstein. You can only paskin like a shita if you haven't decided it's wrong. V'roa machlokes mi bedin shekaznu, and you see there's a machlokes in front of you and you don't know which is right. I mean, you haven't made up your mind. So then yachol bezdin achro lismoch ala yachem b'shas atchak. Aval im abezin achron daito machras kisvaris harabim velo svir le klal kisvaris yachad. Remember, I quoted this from Lichtenstein, right? But then while I was reading research, and I found Baruch Shekivein, it could be that I missed a footnote in Rav Aaron's article, and he wrote that he got this idea from the Kabbalah Tamarim. It's totally possible because the guy, you know, the man knew the Kabbalah Tamarim. I'm sure called, because every so often he would, in fact, just quote things out of the Kabbalah Tamarim and the Tosefes Yom Kippurim, which is the Maral Bach Sefer on Yoma. Tosefes Yom Kippurim is his Sefer on Yoma. Kabbalah Tamarim is his Sefer on. So it's not a bad name, right? Tosefes. Anyways, not important.
Uh huh.
It's because the Rambam thinks Tosefes Yom Kippurim is the only Tosefes, which is D'oraisa.
Ooh.
Right, not Shabbos. He doesn't believe in Tosefes Shabbos.
Tops the Marbas. D'oraisa.
Lulav. Lulav! I was just waiting for you to get that one right. That's okay. He said, "V'lo yuchol ismach al das ha-yachid. Kevin lo sfir le kavosei. V'chanami parchei Tosefes." Says that's what Tosefes is asking. Okay, so just, we'll stop with this. I know you have to go for the Kabura. But let's summarize what we have so far. Right? Tosfos, the simplest shot, says that it's actually legitimate sometimes to lie in order to, for a greater good. He doesn't explain why, he doesn't explain how.
What's the greater good?
But he clearly holds there's some greater good that allows you to lie against the halacha, right? It's, he doesn't explain.
Yeah, can't you formulate him like the Kabbalah smart?
You can. Well, which formulation? Like here's
the
Torah?
No. I mean, he obviously doesn't say lying, and it just seems like he's possibly
like,
should do
it. So let's, okay. It's possible that Tosfos says you can lie, right? He doesn't say that this is Sikar al Chavashat al Chag. He doesn't say it's a Kirsav and a Torah. He just says whatever,
okay.
Right? The Ritva, absolutely not, right? There may be certain things that are legitimate, but that's beyond, right? That's the only thing that both Tosfos and the Ritva agree on is that what is legitimate?
Hiding something for him.
Is hiding things to encourage people to do what they really should be doing anyways, right? Like, al ha-gvul, right?
Oh, and possibly at least active for Machmer.
Right, maybe. Right, maybe. The Kabot Marim notes that that there's two other possibilities. One is that because of social needs, you're allowed to invoke Akiras Dovrim and HaTorah, which you've already seen, but he qualifies it that may only be the Gadol Hador. Gadol Hador. Right, the Gadol Hador.
And Shev Al-Taseh.
And it's only Shev Al-Taseh. Right? And then he says, well, why don't you just say this is Psikat Al-Chah B'Sharat Chak? And his answer is because what we said from Lichtenstein.
Again, okay, this isn't a Yachid versus Rabban. It's a Yachid versus Yachid.
Okay, the technicality here. But his fundamental point is that you're not allowed, right? He has a radical position, which Lichtenstein holds like, right? Which is that Psikat Al-Chah B'Sharat Chak is not legitimate unless... You actually have a suffix, right? If you're not 100% sure, so then both shittos are in play. But if you have decided that one is obviously right and the other is wrong, it's not in play for practical purposes.
Right?
Right? Now, again, why did I say take this sugya? Right? Because from this sugya, right, this is not a straight-on sugya, right? It's a very difficult gemara that implies... That there is a meta value that affects the way you paskin, and you see that each of these Rishonim or Achronim is struggling to figure out, right, where exactly do they understand the role of these meta values, right? The Ritva says it's going to tell lying, kimat velo, right? Chumrah, withholding truth, to push people to do the right thing, that's like halacha vein marin ken, I'm okay with that. Tosfos, you know, lying, I might be okay with that. Kabot Marim, I'm not willing to... Right, first possibility, I'm not willing to do it unless it's really at the Madrega where I need a Kiras Dovrim and HaTorah, and then I got to fit the whole standards. Passive, Gadol Hador, right? But if it's... But what's the implication of that first answer to Kabot Marim? That if you're not the Gadol Hador, and this doesn't raise to the level that I can Okra B'Dovrim and HaTorah, then what are you commanded to do?
Follow the
Halacha. Right, follow the Halacha, Pshuto Kemashmo. Right, and say what it is. Right, again, he doesn't weigh in on the Chumrah one, but... At least you can't be Makil. His second answer is, well, maybe Psikat al Chabeshat Chak. But Tok today he says, well, you have to be careful because Psikat al Chabeshat Chak might only be legitimate if you have a suffix. But if you don't have a suffix, it would take a lack of integrity for you to possibly that cheating. You can't do it even Bishas al Chak, short of Akira Davar Menatera. Right? And you see how this Sugya sort of forces these poskim to weigh in on how much, right? And again, that's why I did it, because it sort of brings all those things together, and Akira Sarama Torah, and just the role of outside factors in general, right? How much are these poskim going to let it weigh on them? Okay? Next week, what we'll do is we'll polish this off, and then we'll also see the Chumrah one, because that's right, what we haven't focused on enough is we've just assumed that it's okay to gently encourage people to be machmir. But that is based on Gemara in Baba Basra that Tosfos alludes to, so we'll come to that next week, okay?